Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914, page 397. Visible translated text is as follows, 57, yes. I then asked her how was her father, and she said, my father is dying, I think. Then she spoke to me about getting some assistance from the office for burial expenses, and she commenced to cry, and I walked down the steps with her to the front door. That was about 9:30. Mr. Frank stayed at the factory until 9:40 when we left together. We went on up to the corner of Hunter and Forsyth, took a drink of soda water at Crookshanks at the corner of Forsyth and Hunter. He left me then and started towards Montag's. That's the last I saw of him until Sunday morning. The elevator box was unlocked Sunday morning, and anybody could have pulled it open and started the elevator. The elevator makes some noise. It is driven by a motor. It makes more noise when it stops at the bottom than when it starts. There is nothing to stop it except when it hits the bottom. I have seen these cords that we tie up slate and pencils with in every part of the factory. I have raised sand about finding them in the basement. They go down in the garbage. There are several truckloads of waste and debris every day. The general cleaning up of the premises was had on Tuesday after the murder. The factory is 5 stories high, between 150 and 200 feet in length and 75 or 80 feet wide. It is an extremely dirty place. In some places, the floor is gummed an inch thick, and in some parts of the metal room, it is 1/8 of an inch thick. It might not average that all over. It is always dark on the first floor, through the hall toward the elevator. On a cloudy day, it is very dark. We keep a light burning there most of the time. I couldn't say whether we had cleaned up all the trash and rubbish around the factory, because there are corners and crevices which we don't usually get to. Saturday, April 26th, was a dark, bad, misty day, until about 9:30. It was cloudy most of the day. It was 57,